Just to explain, the reading this morning is from Esther chapters 1 and 2, but we're doing it as a dramatised reading, so it may be harder for you guys to follow. So, this is what happened during the time of King Xerxes. He was the king who ruled the 127 areas from India to Kush. In those days, King Xerxes ruled from his capital city of Susa.
In the third year of his rule, he gave a banquet. It was for all his important men and royal officers. The army leaders from the countries in Persia and Media were there, and all the important men from all of Xerxes' empire were there too.
The banquet lasted 180 days. All during that time, King Xerxes was showing off the great wealth of his kingdom, and he was showing his own honour and greatness. When the 180 days were over, the king gave another banquet. It was held in the courtyard of the palace garden for 7 days. It was for everybody in the palace at Susa, from the greatest to the least important. The courtyard had fine white curtains and purple drapes. These were tied to silver rings on marble pillars by white and purple cords. And there were gold and silver couches. These were on a floor set with tiles of white marble, shells and gems. Wine was served in gold cups of various kinds. And there was plenty of the king's wine because he was very generous. The king commanded that each guest be permitted to drink as much as he wished. He told the wine servers to serve each man what he wanted.
Queen Vashti also gave a banquet. It was for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes.
On the 7th day of the banquet, King Xerxes was very happy because he'd been drinking much wine. He gave a command to the 7 eunuchs to bring him Queen Vashti wearing her royal crown. She was to come to show her beauty to the people and important men. She was very beautiful. The eunuchs told Queen Vashti about the king's command, but she refused to come. Then
the king became very angry.
His anger was like a burning fire.
It was a custom for the king to ask advice from experts about law and order. So King Xerxes spoke with the wise men. They would know the right thing to do.
The king asked those men,
"What does the law say must be done to Queen Vashti? She has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes to her."
Then Memucan spoke to the king and the other important men. He said,
"Queen Vashti has done wrong to the king alone, not done wrong to the king alone. She has done wrong to all the important men and all the people in all the empire of King Xerxes. All the wives of the important men of Persia and Media will hear about the queen's actions. Then they will no longer honour their husbands. They will say,
'King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought to him,
but she refused to come.'
Today, the wives of the important men of Persia and Media have heard about the queen's actions, and they will speak in the same way to their husbands, and there will be no end to disrespect and anger. So, our king, if it pleases you, give a royal order, and let it be written down in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be changed. The law should say, 'Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes.' Also, let the king give her place as queen to someone who is better than she is, and let the king's order be announced everywhere in his large kingdom. Then all the women will respect their husbands, from the greatest to the least important."
The king and his important men were happy with this advice. So King Xerxes did as Memucan suggested.
He sent letters to all the areas of the kingdom. A letter was sent to each area, written in its own form of writing. And a letter was sent to each group of people, written in their own language. These letters announced that each man was to be the ruler of his own family.
So, think of the best party that you have ever been to. I don't know what it was like, but I bet it wasn't as amazing as this party described in Esther chapter 1. Chapter 1 is pretty much all about the party King Xerxes is giving. So let's have a party game. So we're going to play a version of Simon Says. But Simon isn't here, is he? So it's going to be the king says, and I'm the king. So when the king says, get up, you all have to get up. When the king says something, you have to do it. But there is one exception. Okay. So if the king says to you, come out here. So if the king says, come out here, you are to shout, no, no, no. Okay? So let's have a little practice of that bit. The king says, come out here. Very good. Okay. So all get up. All stand up. You see, I thought I'd made my instructions clear. So, the king says, everyone stand up. If you don't want to join in, that's fine. Okay. You can join in however you feel pleased. So, the king says, let's turn around. Yes. Let's just limber up a bit. We'll do some Anglican aerobics. The king says, wave your hands like this. Right, you can stop now. Very good, very good. The king says you can stop now. It's a party, so we'll have some party dancing. Let's do some party dancing. Hey, hey, come on. Let's do some dancing there. Oh, yes, I see. Okay, the king says, let's do some party dancing. Come on, let's see those party moves. Yes, thank you. Very good. King says you can stop all that now. Okay, the king says you can stop that now. Thank you very much. Let's do a Mexican wave. We'll all do a little bit of a Mexican wave. Okay, you're getting the hang of this, actually. The king says, let's do a little Mexican wave there. Yes, okay. The king says you can all sit down now. So this is a big party. There you are. You're standing with your drink in one hand, balancing your plate in your food plate in the other, and you're exhausted because this party has been going on for 6 months. 6 months. And King Xerxes, he's throwing one of the biggest parties ever in his palace. And all around you, you see how powerful he is. He rules the whole of the known world. And as you look around, everybody who's anybody is there. So you've got the film stars there, all the CBBC presenters are there, top sports people are there, musicians, artists. There's all those celebrities there who you have no clue who they are or why they are considered a celebrity. And then there's the top leaders. You've got your royalty, your officials, your military. They're all there. And just through the crowd, you can see King Xerxes himself, the most powerful man in this world. And just when you think this party he's giving is finished, he gives another party. Now, admittedly, second one's only for 7 days, but it's in his private palace, in the garden. You could say it was a garden party. It's really impressive. No expense spared. Gold and silver chairs. Even the floor is expensive. It's so good, you want to get down on your hands and knees and just feel the quality of it, but it just might look a bit weird to the other guests, mightn't it? So you've got gold cups, each individually made. You're not going to buy these from IKEA, and you can drink as much as you like. The king is showing off. You can feel the power. Think Buckingham Palace garden party, but with one of the younger princes in charge, showing off to his mates. Can you see how amazing this party is? This world is full of desirable things. Everything in it is the best that you can have. Food and drink made by the top master chefs. And you stand there and you look around and you're just saying, wow, I really want to be part of all this. Everyone's impressed. Well, when I say everyone, what I really mean is all the men. Sorry, ladies. You see, the ladies, they're having their own party elsewhere. Queen Vashti is hosting her own amazing party in her private garden. Now, you think that Queen Vashti would have power too, but actually, no, she has very limited power. All the power in this empire is vested in King Xerxes. King Xerxes, he's having a great time. After all that eating and drinking and all that wine, he's really happy. He's really pleased with himself, you know, and he wants to show off his wife. Well, in case you don't know, there are some things in life that you don't show off. And he orders his servants, the eunuchs, to go and fetch Queen Vashti now. And he wants to show her off to all his mates who've also had too much wine. And the king says to Queen Vashti, come out here. And she says,
No.
Very good. Oops, she's having none of it. She's not going to be paraded in front of all these drunken men. Isn't the king the most powerful person in the world? Xerxes, well, he's not happy now. In fact, he is hopping mad. He is so angry. No one says no to the king. What should he do now? He's the most powerful man in the world. So he calls a conference. He gets his advisors and wise men together. He asks them, what should I do? Don't you think that's a bit funny? Don't you think that's kind of sort of odd? The king with ultimate power doesn't know what to do. He can't make decisions for himself. He has to call in his experts. And what do they say? Queen Vashti should no longer be queen. They live in a throwaway society. This will send a strong message out to everyone all over the empire as to who's in charge of this world. So new rules, regulations, and laws are written down to make it happen. See, this world lives by rules and regulations, whether they're good or bad, right or wrong. So this is a big, big world. It's impressive. It's desirable. But it's also dangerous. You can have pressure put on you to do things you don't want to do. And in an odd way, it's laughable. It's a strange world that Esther is living in. It reminds me a lot of this world that we live in. If you think about it, we live in exactly that kind of world. People are impressed with power, money, celebrity, even when these things aren't good, and even when they're laughable. This world can be very attractive for all the wrong reasons. So we've met one of the main characters in the story so far, King Xerxes. In the next talk, we'll meet two other characters, Esther and Mordecai. And they're not powerful like King Xerxes at all. But then, real power isn't always where you think it is.
So, the next bit of the story. Later, King Xerxes was not so angry. Then he remembered Vashti and what she'd done, and he remembered his order about her. Then the king's personal servants had a suggestion. They said,
let a search be made for all the beautiful young virgins for the king.
Let the king choose supervisors in every area of his kingdom. Let them bring every beautiful young virgin to the palace at Susa.
These women should be taken to the women's quarters and put under the care of Hegai. He is the king's eunuch in charge of the women. And let beauty treatments be given to them. Then let the girl who most pleases the king become queen in place of Vashti.
The king liked this advice, so he did as they said. Now there was a Jewish man in the palace of Susa. His name was Mordecai, son of Jair. Mordecai was from the tribe of Benjamin. Mordecai had been taken captive from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah who had no father or mother, so Mordecai took care of her. Hadassah was also called Esther, and she had a very pretty figure and face. Mordecai had adopted her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. The king's command and order had been heard, and many girls had been brought to the palace in Susa. They'd been put under the care of Haggai. When this happened, Esther was also taken to the king's palace. She was put into the care of Haggai, who was in charge of the women. Esther pleased Haggai, and he liked her. Esther had been adopted by Mordecai.
The time came for Esther to go to the king.
She asked for only what Haggai suggested she should take. Haggai was the king's eunuch who was in charge of the women.
And everyone who saw Esther liked her.
So Esther was taken to King Xerxes in the royal palace. It was Xerxes' 7th year as king.
And the king was pleased with Esther more than with any of the other virgins, and he liked her more than any of the others.
So King Xerxes put a royal crown on Esther's head, and he made her queen in place of Vashti.
Then the king gave a great banquet for Esther. He invited all his important men and royal officers. He announced a holiday in all the empire, and he was generous and gave everyone a gift.
Esther had still not told anyone about her family or who her people were. This is what Mordecai had told her to do. She still obeyed Mordecai, just as she had done when he was bringing her up.
Now Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate.
Now Bigthana and Teresh were two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway. While Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthana and Teresh became angry at the king, and they began to make plans to kill King Xerxes.
But Mordecai found out about their plans and told Queen Esther. Then Queen Esther told the king. She also told him that Mordecai had found out about the evil plan.
When the report was investigated, it was found to be true. The two officers who had planned to kill the king were hanged.
And all this was written down in the daily court record in the king's presence. So we're going to have a little quiz now. We're going to see a picture. I don't want you to shout out. Just have a look at the picture and think if you can work out what this is. And if you've got some idea, put your hand up, perhaps. Go on, Trevor.
Hairbrush,
let's have a look. And it is a hairbrush. We'll have our next one. This is perhaps for the younger members. If anybody can think what that might be, what do you think it is? What?
Egg holder.
An egg holder. It does look a bit like an egg holder, but it isn't. Anyone else? Lego, you think? Let's have a look. Yep. The ubiquitous Lego brick. Let's have our next one. This one's a little bit harder. Has anybody got any ideas? You can shout out if you think. Hands. Go on then, Jane. A bicycle. Brake, no. Does look like a bit of a bike, actually. Glasses, somebody says. Let's have a look. I was going to say, it's a lot. There you go. Our next one. Again, honey. Go on then, Josh. A ball.
Beach ball.
Very good. There you go. And I think we've got one more. You have to kind of start thinking, go on then.
A can of drink.
It does kind of look like a can, the opening. Anyone else? It isn't that. The what? It is a kettle spout. Very good. So I'll be referring to those pictures in a while. So we've met King Xerxes. And that king, he sure knows how to party. And after some time, he began to miss not having a queen. He'd ordered Queen Vashti that she was no longer allowed into his presence. So what does he do now? Well, you know what he does now, don't you? He turns to his trusty advisors. He asks them what should be done. And they advise him that in order to forget about Vashti, he ought to put his mind on other things. So they organise a competition. Well, everyone loves a competition, don't they? A beauty competition where all the beautiful young ladies in the whole empire get to enter. And the one that pleases him most gets to win the competition. And the prize is they get to be the new queen. What's there not to like about that? So I thought, well, you know, we all like a competition. Let's have a competition now. We'll have a beauty competition now. I'll be the judge and everybody has to enter. Doesn't feel so good, does it? You see, competitions are great if you want to do them, as long as you can choose whether you enter them or not. But being forced to enter a competition or anything against your will, that's not going to feel good. That's not going to go down well, is it? Esther is forced to enter this competition. Esther is powerless to say no. Mordecai, who looked after her, is powerless to help her or get her out of the competition. Mordecai cannot save Esther. How weak and frustrated must he feel? And this competition, and the young ladies are in it, they're there for one thing, and one thing only really, for the pleasure of the king. He is the one with all the power in that world. Esther does very well. The king likes her a lot. She wins the competition and is made queen. But that doesn't actually give her any more power. It just puts her in a different place. And Mordecai continues to try and help Esther. And in doing so, he saves the king from a murder plot. The king's bodyguards wanted to murder him, but Mordecai finds out, passes the information on to Esther, who alerts the king. Now, King Xerxes' life is saved by, really, two people who are refugees in his empire. So the weakest people in his empire save the life of the most powerful person. And the actions of Mordecai and Esther save his life. But notice, do you notice something? Mordecai goes unrewarded for saving the king's life. Now that doesn't seem right. This world they live in isn't a fair world. You don't always get rewarded for doing the right thing. So we've got King Xerxes has all the power, and Mordecai and Esther are powerless refugees, essentially. There's one main character who's not got a mention yet. Where is God in all this? God never gets a mention. He never gets a mention in the whole book of Esther. Yet he is there. Like those close-up pictures, you can only see a small part of the object. Esther and Mordecai and even King Xerxes, with all his power, can only see a small amount of what is going on. We can only see a tiny part of what's happening in this world. God sees the big picture, and he is working in unseen ways. God is the one with the power to change things. He is looking after his people even when Esther and Mordecai cannot see it. God is working in the world of Esther, which is very much like our own world. We live in a world in which some people seem to hold much more power than others. We live in a world that isn't fair and doesn't always reward people for doing the right thing. It's a world in which we can be it can be very hard to be one of God's people. It can be hard to be a Christian. And we can feel powerless in this world. You know, if you look around at our world, it seems crazy, doesn't it? We see wars, we see knife crime, we see people trafficking, modern slavery, and we can feel weak and useless. But God is working in this world through his people and in ways we cannot even see. God has a plan. Jesus came into the world as an exile and refugee like Esther and Mordecai. He appeared powerless. He became a prisoner and suffered under cruel rulers. He was executed as though he were a nobody. And yet, this was all part of God's plan. God's plans aren't always easy to see. Just like those pictures, you can't always see what's really there. Now, we might ask, God, where are you? Yet, just as in the book of Esther, God is here in this world working out his purpose. He hasn't abandoned his world or his people. He hasn't abandoned you or me. God watches over his people even when they don't know it. Weak individuals like Esther and Mordecai are important to God. You are important to God. He is working out his plan even when we don't realize it. Real power doesn't lie in the hands of kings or politicians or others in authority. Real power belongs to God. He has shown ultimately this through Jesus Christ, his son. And we can look to him knowing that he has the power to bring up his plan in this world for each and every one of us. He is the one who saves his people in the world. Amen.